listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network, your guide to business and personal success.
Nice to have all the business building advice, inspiration, and information all in one location. Whether you're a seasoned business professional or new to entrepreneurship, you will find the ePodcast Network and our new EPN iPhone application, taking it a step further for your convenience. Get your new EPN iPhone application today by clicking on the logo on the upper right-hand side of the page and never miss another show on EPN. You know, what you think about, you bring about in your life. It's a reality. If you think about, if you focus on something, that's going to happen in your life. If you're constantly focusing on something, that's going to appear in your life. If you're constantly thinking negative thoughts, probably negative things are going to happen to you. If you're constantly thinking, you know, I don't know if I can, I don't know if I'm good enough, I don't think I can. And you go back to that book, I think I can, with the little choo-choo that, you know, the little choo-choo that could. I think I can. And as silly as it might sound, the reality is, what you think about, you absolutely bring about in your life.
The more you can acquire market-valuable skills, the better off you'll be. People get scared. They think, oh, gee, I'm not going to get a job at this, or I can't do a job at that. There's always a demand out there. And what we've got to do is continually reinvent ourselves. If you think that what you did before is going to fix you for the rest of your life, you're in trouble.
This is Amber MacArthur, and you are tuned in to EPN.
Hi, this is Jessica Eves Matthews, America's advocate for women in business. And you're listening to my podcast, Foundations for Business Brilliance. Thanks so much for tuning in to the ePodcast Network. You know, it is an incredible time to launch a business. With the power of technology and the internet, mompreneurs, solopreneurs, and entrepreneurs have the potential to live the life they dream of and build the kind of wealth that will sustain them and their families really for the rest of their lives. And I believe so strongly that every person has unique and powerful talents and gifts, and I know that each of you can use those very passions and talents to achieve wealth, independence, and liberation from all that is holding you back. I am a seasoned business lawyer and business advocate, and I've spent my entire career helping entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and small business people launch and run their own businesses. I know the path that will lead to business success and brilliance, and it's as hard and as simple as looking inside yourself, embracing who you are, and then having the courage to take your unique path to business brilliance. You know, what I love about my business is that I get to work with people to help them find a clear and very practical path to launch and build a business, create wealth, and get their life and their joy back. My Business Brilliance products and programs were created to help you discover your gifts and passions and help you launch and create a solid foundation for your business, to grow that business to heights that you might not have ever dared to dream about. My programs are going to give you step-by-step guidance on how to get from today to the life that you long for. Together, we'll work on everything from finding your true gift, conceiving of your business idea, to creating a solid business foundation. And that's critical. And let me add that you can find more information about my programs at www.jessicaevesmatthews.com. And that's Matthews with one T. I am so incredibly excited to be able to share with you the roadmap for launching a solid foundation for your business through this podcast on EPN. That foundation will support your business and then your ideal life. It will renew your energy, your enthusiasm, and it will ultimately result in independence and success for years to come. So if that sounds good to you, then let's get started.
Hi, everybody. It's Jessica Eves Matthews. Thank you so much for joining me today at my podcast, and thank you for joining the ePodcast Network. Today, we start a series, a several-part series called Protecting Your Brilliant Ideas. And today is part one. Today, we are going to deal with non-disclosure agreements. And before we launch into that, I got to give the usual disclaimer. I'm not giving legal advice today. That is not my intent. What I'm going to do is share some educational information with you about how to protect your business. But as always, I highly recommend you developing a relationship with a really good business lawyer in your jurisdiction, whether it's in the United States or elsewhere, who can advise you on how to put into effect or put into practice the things you're going to learn on this podcast today. Okay, so with that said, what is a non-disclosure agreement, also known as an NDA? And it is also known as a confidentiality agreement. Basically, it is a contract between individuals and or companies who are considering doing business together and who need to share information about each other's businesses in order to work together. The NDA creates a protective shield of confidentiality, basically, around the relationship, and it prevents one or both parties from disclosing non-public and proprietary information about the business, and it protects trade secrets as well. So I know what you're thinking. You're not the inventor of the paperclip or the designer of the personal computer or the inventor of the post-it note. So why do you need an NDA? Well, my short answer is that if you have a business or a product idea that you think can make money, okay, which is pretty much everything, you need an NDA to protect your ideas and your business processes. And as a side note, if you're trying to patent an idea, you do need to file for patent protection. I highly recommend hiring a lawyer who specializes in patent law. It's a very specialized area of law. But an NDA, even in that event, will allow you to protect and yet share information before your patent application has been filed and approved. And for the record, patent applications must be filed within 1 year of the first public disclosure of the information. So the time starts to tick when you make your first disclosure. But if you work with vendors, like independent contractors, or employees, either one, you really need an NDA to protect your proprietary information, your financial information, and any other non-public information specific to your business. And this really is important because I know a number of people who have been burned by independent contractors stealing their information, and they didn't have an NDA in place to protect themselves. And when you don't have one, your remedies are limited. Your recourse is limited. So in future podcasts, I am going to talk about other ways to protect information. But this is the easiest way to get really solid protection and clear remedies in the event someone steals your ideas. So if you have a business, you really do need an NDA. It's a very prudent thing to add to your standard contract collection. And I do recommend that you have a contract collection that you use with everyone you do business with. And in the coming weeks and months, I'm going to be discussing what types of agreements need to be in that collection. But I've just launched a new learning library on my website called the Business Brilliance University. And if you go to my website, JessicaEvesMatthews.com/business-brilliance-university, you're going to see that I'm starting to build a library with lots of self-help resources to get some of these things in place without having to hire a lawyer to do all of it for you. So it's very exciting. Make sure you go check that out. And if you sign up for my free e-zine, you'll get notice when additional products are added, and you'll also get special discounts on everything that's in there. So make sure you sign up for my free e-zine in order to get on that list. Okay, so an NDA can really come in many forms, and I suspect for most of you listening to this podcast, a simple NDA is probably going to be sufficient for you. But all NDAs, even if they're complex, have certain characteristics in common, which we're going to outline in this podcast. Let me first say really quickly that an NDA can either be mutual or unilateral. And a mutual NDA is where both parties are restricted from disclosing protected information. That's also known as a two-way NDA. And a unilateral NDA is where only one party to the agreement is restricted from disclosures. One common form of an NDA is one between an employer and a future employee. Like the day you're hired, you sit down, you're filling out all the paperwork, they're going to make you sign often a one-way agreement that prevents you from disclosing company information or using it for your own benefit or for the benefit of a competitor or other third party. A similar agreement would work for a business that is about to hire an independent contractor or a vendor. So, for example, I never hire independent contractors for my business. I don't have any employees. I work only with other entrepreneurs. But I would never hire one until I had an NDA in place. Everyone I work with has signed my NDA. Okay, so Second, NDAs typically have, at a minimum, 8 provisions that we're going to go over today that I think need to be addressed. So make sure you've got a pen and paper. The first one is, who are the parties? And this may seem obvious, but this actually can get overlooked and can really get you into some trouble. Make sure you properly identify the parties to the agreement. And also, for me, I've got multiple businesses, so I always include all of my businesses and any future businesses I might have as parties to the agreement. So they all benefit from the NDA. And also make sure, if you're dealing with a business, that the person signing the agreement on behalf of the business has the authority to bind that business in a contract. That's critical. Okay, number 2. A clear description of what kind of information is confidential. So you basically need to define it. And I would be as comprehensive as you can and make sure you include such things as customer lists. If you have customer information, names, addresses, telephone numbers, email addresses, that has to be in there. Particularly if you collect email addresses through an opt-in form, and the opt-in form has a privacy policy that says we never share your information with third parties, you better have an NDA in place that prevents your independent contractors and employees from disclosing that information. You could end up in a lot of hot water if you don't have it in place. And even hotter water if your employee or vendor uses that customer information improperly. Also include in your definition of confidential financial information, intellectual property, trade secrets. I also personally include information about me, personal information that they may learn about me or my family members, including my personal finances. I learned this from a multi-billionaire entrepreneur who was one of my clients. He did this in all of his NDAs, and I just think it's so smart because it prevents the people you work with from later dishing about you. You know, who knows? Maybe you're going to become famous. You want to make sure that they are bound from talking about you. Okay, you also need, number 3, is an exclusion from the definition of confidential. And that means what is not confidential. That usually includes information revealed prior to the agreement, any public information, and this last one's important, any information subject to disclosure under government order or court order. So that's like if the Homeland Security Department came and knocked on your door and said, you need to turn over some documents to us relating to this vendor that you work with, or if you got a subpoena from a court, you want to be able to comply with those so you're not in contempt with the government or with a court. But you also don't want to be found in breach of contract of the NDA by complying with the government or court order. So you need to exclude that. You need to make sure that the agreement is clear that you can comply with government and court orders, and you're not in breach of the agreement if you do so. Okay. What is, number 4, what is the purpose of the disclosure and what use is permitted? This is important too. I would keep this as narrow as possible. Why are they needing the information? How are they going to use it? What kind of use is permitted? And I would also state that the information should not be used for anything other than the stated purpose. Okay, the 5th provision should discuss when the NDA expires and how long do the obligations exist even after its expiration or termination. And sometimes obligations do extend beyond the expiration or termination of an agreement. This is really important. Make sure you consult with an attorney in your jurisdiction, because in some places, I know in the U.S., there are some states where an indefinite time period in an NDA might render the agreement unenforceable. Even if it's too long a period, it might render it unenforceable as well. So make sure you know the law in your area so that you don't write an agreement that could end up being questionable. Okay, number 6, what are the legal remedies in the event of breach? Obviously, if somebody steals your business ideas and starts making money off of it, you want compensation. That's called money damages. But you also want the ability to get a temporary restraining order, also known as a TRO, or an injunction. And that would prevent further disclosures of information. That's the only way to prevent disclosures. So you've got to reserve the right to do that. And in order to do that, you would include language to say that both parties agree that a disclosure would cause, and you need this language in there, immediate and irreparable harm to the non-breaching party, and that injunctive relief is the appropriate immediate remedy to mitigate further damages. I would also reserve the right for money damages and any other remedy allowed under law. But you want to reserve the right for an injunction because that is going to be the most powerful tool you have if somebody starts using or leaking your confidential information. Okay. Number 7, what are the obligations of the recipient of the confidential information? And this usually requires that the recipient only use the information for the stated purpose or purposes, and that he or she use reasonable efforts to keep the information confidential and secure. And reasonable efforts is usually defined as taking the same care as the recipient would use to keep his or her or its own confidential and proprietary information secure. Okay, finally, number 8. When is the recipient of the information required to return materials provided by you to them, if at all? And often that's at the termination of or completion of the relationship. So if you handed over some written materials or products or something to assist them in doing their job, you want them to be required to return everything to you. And the agreement should also say that they can't keep a copy, make a copy, distribute copies. Everything has to come back to you, originals and all copies. Okay, there you go. Those are some basics about NDAs. For the record, I personally would never begin developing a business idea or share details about a business idea or even an existing business without an NDA in place. And most people are more than understanding about signing them. The only exception might be in the venture capital world or angel funding world. They will not sign NDAs. So if you're trying to raise money, I wouldn't even ask. It makes you look like an amateur and that could hurt your credibility. But in every other setting, it's perfectly appropriate to ask for one. And a true professional is going to respond appropriately. A true professional will understand why it's important, will respect your request to have one in place, and will happily sign it. They might want to negotiate some of the terms, and that is totally okay. But if you are dealing with someone who balks at the idea or is offended at the idea of having to sign an NDA, it is a huge red flag. Run away from that person as fast as you can, because that is only an indication of where you guys are headed. Unfortunately, since I've been a business litigator for so long, I've got some horror stories about people who didn't listen to that initial red flag and ended up in a huge problem with that business partner or vendor or even employee later on. So make sure that you require it of everyone you deal with, and you only deal with people that are amenable to signing it. Okay, so that's it for today. If you have any questions about what I've discussed, please feel free to email me at support@jessicaevesmatthews.com. I can't give you legal advice, but I can certainly answer questions you might have about this podcast. And I really appreciate you being here today. Thank you for joining me and for joining the ePodcast Network. This is Jessica Eves Matthews signing off. Remember to be brave, be bold, and be business brilliant.
The ePodcast Network, supported by the most renowned success stories in business today. Subscribe today and never miss another show on EPN.